You're listening to the Law of Attraction Radio Network.
Welcome to an incredible journey with internationally renowned lawyer of attraction, Paula Kidd Casey. Applying the skills gained over 40 years of practicing law, Paula uses facts, logic, and science to prove the validity of the Law of Attraction. Join Paula each week as she explores unique concepts, allowing you to rediscover the wisdom of the ancient masters, all while weaving in the science that proves magic really does happen. If you yearn for a life change or want to rediscover your passion, then share the path with Paula and begin to love your journey every step of the way.
Hello, this is Paula Kidd Casey, and I'm the Lawyer of Attraction, and welcome to my show on the Law of Attraction Radio Network. I have one of my favorite people on today, Pam Grout, the New York Times bestselling author of E Squared. She has a brand new book, The Course in Miracles Experiment, and I'm so excited. So we will be right back with Pam Grout. And we are back with Pam Grout, one of my favorite people in the whole world. Pam, thank you so much for being on my show.
Hey, I'd go anywhere for you.
Oh, you
I love hanging out with you. You guys, she is wonderful.
Oh, bless your heart. Okay. And I did not even have to pay her very much money to say that. We live kind of close to each other, and there was a lot of, you know, coincidences and serendipities that we got together. So I'm thrilled you're in my life. I'm thrilled you're in everybody's lives. I'm thrilled your new book came out. So I want to talk about your new book, The Course in Miracles. But first, just kind of catch us up. I know you've been traveling some. I see you all over. So where have you been the last couple of months?
Probably the most fun, I went to Mexico for the month of December. And of course, you know, we were talking about snow earlier. It's so nice to be where the weather's 70 degrees every day. There's a little Course in Miracles community down there. It's kind of now branched out. It's more
really?
Kind of everything. It's called Namaste Community. It was started by James Twyman. But he's had a community there for 2 years. In fact, I was there for the 2-year anniversary. We had a big cacao ceremony, which was
so like people live there.
People live there. They built a bunch of tiny houses.
Wow.
And I guess probably now there's probably 40 people that live there. When I go, I used to stay at an Airbnb.
Yeah.
They have satsang every morning at 9:30. So I walk over there every morning, and you walk there on little cobblestone streets. It's an old colonial town, and it's just beautiful. Perfect weather. So I walk there every morning, and then have satsang, and we talk about Course in Miracles, or Jimmy writes a song, or something kind of amazing happens there, and then we go on with our day. And they have everything in Ahiji. You know, I love to play pickleball. There's a pickleball community, great restaurants. Again, this wonderful community. So yeah.
Well, and you know what's amazing is when you're around those people, the energy goes up, you know? Reading a book is wonderful. Listening to podcasts is wonderful. But if people can get together with that tribe, man, that's where inspiration, because I'm sure it was very inspiring. You hear other people and you get other ideas. And
oh, yeah. Now, we heard, like, Jimmy Twyman would often give those.
Now, tell me
lessons.
That name again. That's his community.
James Twyman.
Q-U-I-M-A-N.
Twyman. T-W-Y-M-A-N.
Okay.
And he's a Hay House author as well. He's got a new book out about St. Francis. In fact, his current project, this is so much fun, he is walking across the country as St. Francis. I mean, he's dressing as St. Francis. You know, St. Francis of Assisi.
I love him. He has the little birds and he feeds the animals.
Right. So he's created a show called Brother, Son, Sister, Moon, and he's doing it off-Broadway for 2 weeks, the end of February. And he started in Portland, Oregon. And then he's, you know, literally going penniless, just like St. Francis did back in the day.
Uh-huh.
And depending on the kindness of strangers, he couldn't get an airplane, but he had all these gigs. Like, he spoke in Kansas City at Unity Village. He did his little show at Unity Village. And he should be about getting to New York now. But anyway, started in Portland,
Still
Oregon.
Still walking, right? Or
well, walking, or trains, however. But again, no money at all. I mean, he's, you know, it's not that he didn't have it. This is just how he chose to do this, to do it as St. Francis. And he's got a friend, Bill Free, that's going with him. And so anyway,
That's innovative and exciting. You know, when I was little, I got a St. Francis of Assisi book. I mean, I think it was way over my head, but I'm telling you, it like touched my soul. Like, so I just think that's such an amazing energy that he put out to the world. You know?
Right. Well, James Twyman's always had a real connection with St. Francis. Like, he often goes over there to Assisi. His last book that he wrote was about St. Francis. So even though he's sort of a Course in Miracles guy, and he's kind of known as a peace troubadour, he writes all these songs and he goes into conflict areas. Like, he went into Syria He went into Iraq, you know, when Saddam Hussein was there. And he goes in and he sings these peace songs. And so his life is not your typical, oh, I'm a writer, I'm a lawyer. You know what I mean? Like you and I have these kind of definitions. But he's just always kind of done what Spirit, you know, advised him to do. And right now, Spirit advised him to be Saint Francis. And
well, you know what? It's the same. It's the same voice. Course in Miracles, Saint Francis.
Exactly.
All coming from the same phone number.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay, so I want to talk about your new book, The Course in Miracles Experiment, and a starter kit for rewiring your mind. Okay, this is what I needed, was a starter kit, because
hey, we all do.
I can't tell you how many times. I mean, I bought the original Course in Miracles. Didn't have a clue. I bought probably, there's probably three different books right now on my bookshelf of people trying to explain it. And I will tell you, this is the first time I get it. So first of all, give us some background, because I think the background in A Course in Miracles is pretty miraculous itself, because this was not somebody sitting down and saying, I want to write a bestseller. This was,
oh no,
they fought at this voice. So tell us, give us the background on that. I think that's just amazing.
Yeah. Well, that's one of the reasons you can really trust it, because these two people that channeled this had no aspirations whatsoever. They were both successful college professors at Columbia University. And there was a lot in their departments. They were both in medical psychology department. There was a lot of infighting, a lot of infighting among the people, a lot of aggressive politics. You know how things can happen way.
You know, it's a university. It is political, you know?
Exactly. Well, our whole world right now, people
are political. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, one day, Bill Stepford, who was the head of that department, said, there has got to be a better way. He literally threw his hands in the air and said, there's got to be a better way. And almost as if on cue, Helen Schuckman, who was his graduate research assistant, said, this is the better way. And she started channeling this voice. And so kind of it was a collaborative project between the two of them. This voice would come through Helen, and then she would tell Bill, and then he would transcribe it on a typewriter.
And what I think is amazing, not only was she Jewish, but she was pretty agnostic, if not atheist, right?
I mean,
so it wasn't like she'd done this before, and it was like totally 180 degrees. And wasn't she pretty, isn't it that she's channeling Jesus, isn't it? Or... is that
right?
It? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. That's basically what people think. It's like, this is Jesus saying, this is what I meant, guys.
Yes.
You know, sort of, this is what I really meant. I know a lot of people started this religion or whatever in my name, but they got a lot of it wrong.
Yeah, but time out.
Yeah. Time out.
That's time exactly out. You guys are nuts. Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. So how long did, so basically she channeled and he wrote it or typed it or something.
He typed it. Right.
And pretty much verbatim.
Yeah, and for 7 years they did this project.
7 years.
And then they had, you know, just this large typewritten, you know, just typewriter
manuscript.
Paper. And they made copies and they started sharing it with people, just certain people, you know, it's like, well, this is a little woo-woo, a little weird. What are we doing here? You know, they have plenty of doubts while they were doing it, as you can imagine. But so anyway, they sent out about 200 copies that they had, you know, made copies of. And people started reading it and really responding to it. And eventually, the Foundation for Inner Peace decided this needs to be turned into a book. So that's basically what happened. And then,
What year was that?
It was back in the 70s. So it's been around for about 50 years now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
Okay. So then it got published, but I mean, it wasn't really mainstream back then, right? But
well, I don't even know if you call it mainstream now. But there have been a lot of books that have been written about Course in Miracles. Like Marianne Williamson's big book, the one that she was on Oprah for, was called A Return to Love. And that was all about A Course in Miracles. Or it was, you know, kind of the teachings of A Course in Miracles. And then, of course, Gerald Jampolsky wrote a book called Love is Letting Go of Fear, also from his experience with Course in Miracles. He didn't use the word God. He used love and fear, you know, everything's either love or fear. Anyway, he was on Johnny Carson with that book, and then that book became a big bestseller. So a lot of books have been spawned from the teachings of A Course in Miracles. But as you pointed out, a lot of people find the book really dense, difficult to understand. I mean, I still feel like I'm learning. I'm not about to say I'm an expert at it or that I totally understand it. But how my book came about is I started blogging about A Course in Miracles back in 2018, January 1st of 2018. I started the book every
Because,
year.
Is that when you started reading it?
Or no, I've been reading it.
Right. This was kind of your foundational book, right?
Right. I've read it for years and years and years.
Okay. Okay.
And I've done the exercises in the workbook. The Course in Miracles, it's like a text, I don't know, 400, 500 page text. Then there's a workbook with 365 lessons, one for each day of the year. And then there's a manual for teachers, and it all comes in this one big book.
Right. Uh-huh.
So the whole idea, you know, you can learn about the principles, as you know, we all have so many books about these principles, but you have to actually
internalize them.
Right. And that's what the workbook is. So I go through the workbook every year. I start on January 1st with lesson one. You know, I go through and I do a lesson a day. And so in January 1st of 2018, I thought, you know, I'm going to start blogging about this journey of mine in Course in Miracles. And so I did, you know, because I blog all the time. I've done like 600 blog posts on my blog.
Yeah, great blog. And let's have an advertisement here. Tell everybody how they can get on your on your email list.
Oh, my blog is just pamgrout.com.
Okay,
so if you know my name, you can find me on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all that. But anyway, so I started blogging about it, and people started posting comments and sending me emails and saying, you need to turn this into a book. You know, I finally understand what Course in Miracles is trying to say. And so, you know, I heard those, and I'm like, oh, that's nice. I'm glad people are enjoying it. But, you know, it just, these messages kept coming and coming and coming. It's like, okay.
Like this St. Francis of Assisi thing, you know? They're telling
you exactly. Exactly. So I sent a, you know, proposal off, and next thing I know, I had a book contract, and I started writing it. Yeah.
And so that was, and it just came out January 29th of this year?
28th of 2020. So yeah, the process of it was a really long time. I mean, I was blogging in the beginning of 2018, and then it was probably in the summer of 2018 when it finally dawned on me, like, okay, Pam, you need to write a proposal, turn it into a book. So then I probably got the book contract in the fall, August, September, or something like that. So that's when I started writing it. But yeah, it was a long process. You know, going to the editor and back, you know, books just take a long time.
I mean, and I remember you telling me that you know, that it's really not, here's my book, can it come out next week? I mean,
right. If you want to do that, you almost have to self-publish, which I've done before, because, you know, it just, the work with the publishers takes a really long time.
Well, and you know, I self-published with Balboa, which is a subsidiary of Hay House.
Right.
And, you know, although mine took long, it didn't take as long as yours.
Yeah.
But there is more, I don't know, creative self-control over that. But you, but the Hay House brand is amazing, too. So,
yeah.
Okay. So let's talk about, so every, there's a lesson. And my understanding is it's not really a long lesson, right, each day. But then you're giving us an example of basically what that lesson, or do you call them lessons? Course in Miracle, do you call them?
Yeah, they lesson for every day of the year.
Okay.
So, yeah, so I just sort of maybe do an example, and I do try to suggest doing what the original workbook says. Like today, for example, it suggests spending 5 minutes three times a day. So, you know, I try to put that in the book to do, you know, kind of just think about what this lesson is saying. Three times today for 5 minutes. Sometimes it'll be one time for 5 minutes. Sometimes it's like, try to just think of it once an hour. It really varies. The whole point, it's not even to do the lessons. The whole point is to establish a relationship or communication with this voice that is available for every one of us. And in the course, they call it the Holy Spirit. But it is the divine guidance, the divine intelligence that is available for all of us.
You call it dude.
I call it the dude. I call it God.
Voice. Yeah.
A lot of things. Yeah.
And, you know, and we both grew up in a conservative neighborhood, you know, and,
right.
You know, I grew up in church, and not that we don't love God, but God does, that word has a connotation that is like nails on a chalkboard to some people. Now that sentence may upset some people, but it's not source. It's the rules that we have assigned to God that we're trying to get away from. So I know that's one of the things you talk bigger than that. You have some great synonyms for that whole thing. So, you know, one of the things I think is brilliant is, you know, we have to disrupt our subconscious mind because we're on autopilot 95% of the day. So when you say, do this for 5 minutes, three times a day, if people could just set their, you know, smartphones, we all have them. And when that goes off, so I'm big on writing on my palm, right?
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things I started trying to do with yours is I would take two or three words that you're talking about, write it on my palm, And then when that goes off, just think about it. There's no right or wrong. It's not like we're going to be tested and buzz.
Exactly,
you
get it right. Yeah.
But I love the fact you're saying do it on an ongoing basis during the day, because that's how we internalize this and think about it. Because what do? We read it for 2 minutes, 20 minutes in the morning, and then you forget about it the rest of the day. So I think that's brilliant. And that comes from the original course. Right.
It's just a way of disrupting ego, the dominant paradigm, this thing that we think is reality. And what the course teaches us, that most everything we believe that we've cemented into our reality is really just made up and it's not even true. So it's just kind of a way of rewiring. And, like you said, if you just do it first thing in the morning, which is important, but you have to kind of continue throughout the day to remember, eventually it becomes automatic. And, you just automatically, I don't know if you've gotten to the review lesson, Jeff, but I have a little thing in there. I said, we want it to be automatic. So I'm going to say this and see what comes up for you.
I just got through that. The 10, I loved it. And you know what? Yeah. I did it. I went. So she has a review. She does 50 days and then she has a 10-day review. And each day there's a rock and roll song. And I'm telling you, I looked it up on YouTube. When I'm reading that, I looked it up because that really... Right? Music internalizes that stuff. We remember words to a song in seventh grade,
Right. Main thing is, too, just when you hear that, you automatically think rock you. So what the course tries to do is the minute one of these egoic thoughts comes up, or you believe you're separate, or you believe, the world is scary or limited or whatever, that automatically the rock you will come up. The idea, this thing that, it's just like they're put together like Pavlov's dog, Pavlov's dog.
Right.
When that happens, you think, oh, wait, there's this other way of being, or, oh, wait, I can ask the voice for help in this. So,
or just quiet our minds and quit fighting with it,
Right.
Quit resisting. Because what I think is brilliant is you have we will, we will, and then you have this sentence about like if we in our ego, non-vortex self are trying to make it happen. We will. Like, we're going to, like, it's not going to work out. We got to figure out and control our environment. And then the next one is rock you, which is, right? Rock you from the big rock, from the big thing. And then you have a great example. So I will tell you that I read your examples and I read your, so I read the lesson, I read the examples. And I'm telling you, the first time through, I'm going, I finally get the lessons with your examples, but it's taking me, and I'm a fast reader, I'm a fast learner. It's taking me a while to integrate those two, which I'm loving it because I'm finally getting it,
Definitely.
And it's something I sat down and I was going to read it all over the weekend, right? Because I got it like last Wednesday or Thursday, but every single page could be a thesis. every single concept is something that you could enlarge and make it to a doctoral thesis. I did that with Eckhart Tolle. I read his stuff and every paragraph was, wow, I didn't get that. And I'd write, so yours is like that. Although it seems simple and it's one page for each day, which is wonderful. But there's a lot of depth to that when you look at it. And you're good at giving us an example to do that. So I have some questions. Okay.
And I
wrote them down. Okay. So I don't know if you have your book in front of you, if any of those at home. So
as a matter of fact,
there you do. We're showing you are the orange books. Okay. So 63 and 64, like it talks about, you talked deploying to action. So whenever we say anything, right, we deploy our thoughts into action. So we're creating, right?
Right.
Okay. And so then 64 basically says that we are the light. And that there's a gazillion different possibilities. And you and I love quantum physics. And so there's a wave and everything is possible until you decide something. And then the particle pops up and now we're frozen in time. So those two are talking about creative, right? That we can create a gazillion things. And we do that. We deploy that in our everyday action.
Okay, right.
So then I struggle with, and I shouldn't use the word struggle because all that does is. So then 46. And it talks about forgiveness, right? Okay. So I know that. So tell us. So I want to come back to those that what I think is a dichotomy. Tell us about what forgiveness means in the Course of Miracle. It's not what we normally think it means.
Right. I often call it the F word again, because forgiveness, that word has a lot of baggage.
Yeah,
but to me, what forgiveness means, what the Course says forgiveness means, is that that thing that you think happened to you, that person that you think is such a creep, that's not even true. There are no bad guys. That's just your misperception. The only thing we need to forgive is our perception. But we think that, no, we have to forgive some actual thing that really happened. The Course says it didn't really happen. And so it opens us up to new possibilities. Basically, forgiveness means going to possibility state. You know, lack of forgiveness is staying in problem state, like, oh, there's this problem.
Okay.
But once you move to possibility state, that may no longer be true. That thing that you thought that was so awful that happened to you.
Right. Because we are seeing that through our filter, right? Through our paradigms,
right,
through all that stuff. Okay. However, then it goes on to say, because this is something I think people that are getting into this or have been getting into this, it says that knowing I don't understand the whole big perspective relieves me of having to decide what's good and bad. Decisions I'm incapable of making, it literally sets me free. So the theory is, we don't know all the facts, so it's hard to be a judge of something. You know, I was an attorney for 40 years. The judge has to know all the facts before they make a decision. And we don't know all the facts because it's just our limited perception. But
Exactly. Didn't
we come down here in our creation to decide what's good and bad? Because when this says there's no good and bad, people are going, wait a minute, you know, there is a bad. And didn't we come down here to choose what we think is better for us, so we create?
That's not what the Course in Miracles would say. Our perception might be that something is bad, but that's a judgment. And any time we label anything as bad, we've written that off, basically. So it's like, I want to be open to 100% of the possibilities, but once you label something, this is good, this is bad, you've cut off half the possibilities. And it's possible that your perception has it wrong. So no, I mean, the Course in Miracles, that's what forgiveness is. We don't know enough to label anything bad. We just don't know enough.
So how do we be creative and create what we want if we're not making decisions what's better for us, right?
Well, we can create
judgment.
We can choose what we want without calling the other thing bad.
Okay. So when we decide we want something because it's better for us, I guess I still think that's a judgmental call, because on a spectrum, you know, when you're on that, but so you don't think there's, so when we're creating, because I know one of the things I teach is you can't run away from something, right? You can't get away from something bad. You have to realize, you have to get happy to be happy, you know, to get more happiness. But so even though we're creators, we're not choosing between good and bad to create something. We're just...
Well, we often do, but that's not the highest place to be in. According
okay.
to Course in Miracles, I'm just telling you what Course in Miracles
no,
says.
No, no, no. That's what...
Is that
no.
There is no good or bad, that it is just a judgment, and that we don't have enough information to fully judge. We just don't. In fact, we were talking earlier about the name God. I mean, part of the reason I don't use that word a lot, because people have their ideas about
That's
the way
true.
God is.
Mm-hmm.
To me, it's a mystery. It's so much bigger than anything I could ever know. For me to think that I understand God would be, that'd be like limiting it. It's like putting it in a little tiny box. It's way bigger than anything I can understand. It's all so much bigger than what I understand. So that's why I don't have enough information to judge. And it's those beliefs that I can judge. And of course, I'm not saying I don't judge. I do. My ego is always wanting me to judge things. But I do know that it's not the way to be happy. And I do know that it's really limits you when you do judge. So my goal is to open up and erase all those judgments. That's really what forgiveness is. To erase all limitations. To erase all beliefs I have that the world can only be this particular way. So, yeah, we are choosing, but I feel like the more you're open and you're choosing with, if you want to use the word God, with that power, it's just so much bigger, because always, always divine intelligence knows way more than I do. I mean, always, 100% of the time.
Oh, there's sometimes I think I know more.
Yeah, well, no, we think
other,
we do. That's the problem.
I know, that's a whole other thing.
Well, yeah.
You know, when we are in judgment, although sometimes when we do that, I mean, when you think about it, although you may think you're superior, at some point in time, you don't feel good about it, right? So Debbie Ford, the light side of the dark side of the light chaser.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
You know, I took one of, somebody was a coach and took her whole course. And, you know, hers was that whatever you project onto somebody else is really just yourself.
Right.
Right. Whatever you're judging on somebody else. And man, that has stopped me in my tracks sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Just that awareness. If we could kind of realize that whatever we're calling somebody else, it's something that we don't like about ourselves. And if we can get out of the judgment, right, then we can get out of guilt and blame. I mean, that all goes along together, right?
Right, exactly. And one of the things I say, and it's kind of a funny thing, it's like we don't look in the mirror and notice our mascara is smudged.
I love that one.
And then try to fix it on the mirror. We have to fix it within ourselves. So any problem we see out there is simply the mirror. And so where do we go to fix it? We go in here. And that would entail forgiveness and letting go of whatever perception. The problem always is our perception. You know, there is no problem except for our perception. I mean, that's what today's lesson was all about. You know, if we're using our perception as opposed to God's perception, which is the unfathomable, unknowable, bigger perception, then we've already limited. We've already chosen something that might be fine, but just think how much more could be possible. And that's just more a place I want to live in.
But I guess maybe the word choice is different than judgment, right? Because we're always going to be making choices.
Right.
Right. So we've got to use some kind of foundation to decide what choice we're going to make. And I guess what you're saying is it's a totally different vantage point that, you know, I love Abraham Hicks says you can never get it done because you can never get it wrong because you're never done, you know, because you're making another choice.
Right.
So the whole thing. So I guess choice is different than judgment, right? We can make choices, and that's okay. We can make a choice because that's how we create. It's when we decide what choice we're going to make. It's what word we're going to say, what actions we're going to take, right?
Yeah, I suppose so. So like the more we're perceiving with God's vision, with the vision of the Holy Spirit, then the more we're going to be doing things that bring happiness and joy and that brings to our divine purpose. I mean, I think we have a tendency to choose things that are so limited, really.
Well, because they're comfortable or they're
right
to them, or we've been told that's the right side.
Right. And so it's like letting go of all of that. I mean, how do we even know that any choice that we've decided, oh, I want to manifest this. And sure, we can do that. That's what the Course says all the time. Our thoughts have creative power. Our thoughts are causative. I mean, the Course is very clear about that. But because of that, we've also created a world with our perception that isn't as big as it could be. Let's just put it that way. There's a whole lot more possible. And the Course encourages us to erase all of our little limitations, all of our perceptions, and surrender to this bigger perception that's so much. I mean, we can't even fathom how much love and light is available for us. I mean, it's way beyond anything we can even imagine. And that's the problem. We're coming from our little pea brain, our little tiny perception. It's like we're looking like this and thinking this is the world. See? So that's what the Course says. Erase all that. Let it go. End this foolishness forever was one of the things from the couple days ago.
I love. Okay. So, you know, I just had this epiphany when you were saying that, because if we make choices from one of the highest vibrations we can be in, which is gratitude, abundance, love, those choices are inspired. And we all know that there's a whole different way of looking at stuff. So when you said that, when we make choices with God, once again, that's when we are in touch with Source, our higher selves. Okay, so now, so that's an epiphany for me, Pam, that when we're in that vibrational stance, the choices flow to us, right?
Exactly. I mean, like, for example, you might be at a bookstore and a book might fall off the shelf.
I know it did with me. Yes.
Somebody will just happen to call, you'll get a wrong number. It happens to be the right person. So those kind of what we might call synchronicities, those kind of things are free to happen. So when we're on that vibrational state of that happiness, the joy, which is more what Source is like, to use the Abraham Hicks thing, it's like, if you're not on the same wavelength as source, which is what the Course in Miracles is saying too,
sure.
you've limited yourself. So always you want to be
I love that.
Making, if you're going to make decisions, so to speak, do it from the wavelength of the of your source.
I love that. Okay.
Yeah.
I want to talk about another F word, which is faith. Right?
Faith. Yeah.
Faith. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I love when it, because this is always that the universe has your back. Is it Gabriel Bernstein? Somebody has a book out that.
Oh, I said that ages ago.
So did I. She stole my book.
Yeah, I know. It's been around for a while, but she turned it into a book. Yeah.
I know, but bless her heart. Good for her. But okay. Yeah. So I love that because that's the, and that's been for like 10 lessons or something. That was kind of the background of, we got to have faith, right? That there's a, like we just talked about, the perception of a bigger picture, but that, you know, the universe has our back. I think a lot of us are kind of fighting that nothing has turned out for me. And, you know, I mean, so, I mean, faith is huge, right?
Well, okay, nothing has worked out for me. That's a judgment, right?
Well, that's true.
That is a judgment. So what if everything's working out exactly the way it's meant to? And if we knew, again, if we really had the perception of God, well, we would see this big, beautiful picture. I always talk about the pointillist painting, you know, when you're really up close.
I
just
love those. They're just
you
points.
Back, yes. And you realize there's so much more there. So when you really have faith, to use your word, you know that whatever situation you're in does have beauty and love, and it's there. And in fact, one of the things the Course says, and I love this, okay, we're aware of whatever we're aware of now. At the same time, this other bigger life is going on for us. This world of, or this life of love and beauty and connection, because we're all one. And that is the truth. So though we're aware of this little picture, again, this thing, there's this other thing going on at the same time. And that's just such a comforting thought. So whatever it looks like in our little judgments, that is not the big picture. And there is this other thing going on at the same time.
Because, you know, we can look back on our lives, something bad happened at the time we think it's bad. But when you get some perspective on it, that bad thing had to happen for the next thing to happen. And so I guess, what do you tell people that are in the middle of, I got on this call with this lady yesterday and she has cancer, she has a fractured leg, she is unemployed. You know, and after about 5 minutes, I went, oh my God, you know, and she goes, how it's not working for me. So what do we tell people? How do we say, yes, it is? Because I guess if we're creating our own lives and we are in this poor me negative victim mode, that's what it's creating more of, right?
Exactly. I mean, one of the questions I will ask when people start in on that was, well, what would you like to have happen? Because she's telling you what she thinks is happening, what appears to be happening.
We went there, right.
But that's what the Course in Miracles is very clear on. What appears to be, yeah, that might be one piece of the puzzle. But there's a such bigger, I mean, it's one piece out of a 1,000-piece puzzle, or actually out of an infinity-piece puzzle. So,
And I kind of said that that's an old story. What do you want to have happen? Let's start creating from here. Because I think if people think that they have to drag that baggage along and tell you how bad it's been, they can never take off. But so I just said, what do you want to do from here? We can create from here. So maybe what we tell people is, tough story, you learned a lot, let's stay in the present moment. Because that's the only time we can really do anything, right, is the present moment.
Well, I don't know if you've gotten to this, but there's one of the lessons in the book. It's kind of on, you know, Bob Newhart's little thing.
Oh, I love that one. Stop it.
Which, in a way, it's like, no, this happened. Well, I'll give you two words. It's really simple. It's going to cost you $5. You know? Yeah. But no, we don't want that. We want the bigger thing, and we want to go on and on.
I've certainly
done that in my own life. You know, no, it can't be easy. No, you didn't know. You didn't see what happened to me. We all have those stories. And that's what we really need to forgive.
Well, that's perfect. The stop it thing. The stop it philosophy.
Maybe mean for people to say to someone. So you wouldn't say that necessarily. In fact, the Course is very clear. Always go into agreement with whoever you're working with. You know, you don't try to prove your point or anything like that, because it doesn't really matter. Because again, the truth is happening, whether they're aware of it or not. And the more we can model the truth and to only see the truth in that person, like, you know, when someone starts in on that story, it's very easy to see them that way, you know. Right, but what if we hold a vision and see, in fact, we're drawing light from people. That's kind of what we are as light workers. And so, yes, we can see that little piece of the puzzle, which is, you know, valid. It's happening on the physical realm. But there's this other thing happening. And our job is to just hold that space and to see that for people. And the more we can do that, I mean, that's really how we help people.
If we can show them that vision, like I said, look how many people you could help that have been through this, that you can say, I've gone through it and this is how I came out of it. Couldn't kind of get her off a dead center, but.
Well, you know, so many people I've known that have had cancer eventually say, this is the best thing that ever happened to me. So many people that have been in Alcoholics Anonymous, this is the best thing that ever happened to me. So we often really do not understand. I mean, that's the whole point. That's what forgiveness is all about. We don't understand. We do not know what somebody else is coming, where somebody else is coming from. We don't even understand where we're coming from half the time. We think we know, but the more convinced we are that we know it, then we block out God.
The more our waves collapse and we aren't open to any other possibilities. So I love that. So you said you call it faith. You said that to me. Do you call it something different besides faith? Is that
I don't use that word a lot, but I like that word. It's just not one I personally use or think about.
I was see if I could, because I circled that the universe always has your back, and it was on, I don't know, but I thought, oh my God, that's perfect. But you didn't use the word faith, but you did talk about how there's a trust there. There's a trust that everything's, and you know, sometimes we have to be in another whole dimension before we see how everything worked, you know?
Right, exactly.
You know,
exactly.
And that takes, I mean, that takes a lot of guts sometimes to get to that, you know? I mean, you've been through a horrible year. I mean, it takes strength to just say, I can get through right now. I'm going to see how everything connects at some point in time, right?
Right. And sometimes that's all you can do.
Yeah.
But I mean, again, as you know from reading Eckhart Tolle, the more you're in the moment,
right,
that's where all the peace is. That's where that's where God is. But most of the time, we're either, you know, looking back past or looking ahead to the future. I heard a cool thing. There's this, it was on Krista Tippett on Being, and she was interviewing Dr. James Doty, who's a neurosurgeon. Of course, he knows a lot about the brain and about how, you know, what happens to your, how thoughts actually get into gray matter.
The neuroplasticity,
But when he was a young boy, and this is a great story about someone who just ended up helping him. He came from a dysfunctional family. His dad was an alcoholic. You know, just not what you choose as the best family life. But he happened to stumble into this little magic store. He was looking for a little thumb. But anyway, So anyway, the guy that owned the store wasn't there, but his mother was there. And of course, his mother taught him how to live. You know, so anyway, that person. But what she said, she goes, well, you know how magic works, don't you? And he says, how? And she goes, well, the truth is your audience, the people that you're doing the magic for, most of them aren't really here. You know, most of them, 90% of the time, they're thinking about the past, something that happened yesterday or some building today. Uh-huh. They're worried about what they're going to do after the magic show's over. And that's why magicians are able to do their work. It's because we're not truly here.
Right.
So, and it really is true, you know, so.
Yeah. And you know, we don't even know we're not here.
We don't know we're not
because
here.
Because we're on autopilot.
Not a lot, but.
Yeah. Well, we just have to remind ourselves, you know, I have a now bracelet. I gave you a now bracelet.
Yeah, exactly.
That really tries to keep us rooted in the present moment and disrupt our autopilot. Something that I've got a now sticker I give out, not to put on the back of phones, just something that stops us from either poor, pitiful me, or I'm worried about tomorrow, or why did it happen to me? And just appreciate the present moment, because you're right. That's where the magic happens.
Yeah.
That's where the whole magic happens on the whole thing. Okay. I could talk forever. Okay. So I want to get to last time you and I had lunch, we were talking about, and I read your article. We got to have lunch again to go over that. But you know, one of the things we were talking about, there's got to be a solution. It's not either political party. It's so far above that. But as I'm reading this, there's really no problem, right, to even have to come up with two solutions. I mean, is that what I'm getting from here, that there's really no problems?
The problem, it's all one problem.
Okay.
It's all one problem. It has many guises, but it's a problem of perception.
Perception.
And that is wrong. So once we change our perception, everything else takes care of itself. So the ego, which is what we're kind of fighting, or fighting is not the right word. The ego is what has claimed us here in the material realm. What it says, or it has a million guises, you know. It has a million different ways of showing up in your life. This problem, that fear. I mean, it goes on and on and on. It's right. A very crafty foe, the ego.
Well, yeah. And so I wish I could find it. It says, you know, that when you pay attention to it, it goes away. The problem goes away. That we always have to, where is it? I underlined so many things and dog-eared so many things that we're always trying to solve a problem, right?
Constantly.
And when we realize there's no problem to solve, then the problem goes away, right?
Exactly. Well, it's like that, living in that state of gratitude. In fact, The Course in Miracles talks a lot about gratitude, because when you're in that state of gratitude, you're more on that frequency where God
right.
is.
Yeah, right.
So that seems like a kind of a no-brainer, because gratitude is a big thing that a lot of people, of course, are practicing and aware that's very important.
And you know, what I found is, you know, I have these little gratitude notes, but what I found when people do the gratitude things, they pretty much are just thinking the thoughts. I am thankful for. They're not really internalizing it, but we've got to get that vibrational feeling of gratitude and abundance, because when we know there's when we're grateful, we know we have enough, and then we're on this different vibration. So I really try to get people to reach for the feeling of gratitude, because so many people have a gratitude journal and they go, I do that all the time, but are you really internalizing that? Because, you know, the word appreciate means like your house is appreciating it, gains
right.
in value. So one of the things is, if you can learn to appreciate something and like pretend like you don't have it, and then you go, oh my God, I really appreciate it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, some kind of contrast, but really learn to internalize that gratitude, because that's a vibrational frequency. Because I think all of these things, right, just fall into place if we can do that.
Well, okay, so I heard a thing recently, and it was a neuroscientist said that our brains are wired. You know, you heard of the fight or flight, but our brains right. are wired to pay attention to those problems because we wanted to survive, right?
Right,
so
right.
That's what registers in our brain.
Right.
Things that are good, things that are happening, they just tend to go off. They call it like Teflon. But
right.
Problems like Velcro, it sticks in your mind. So to fully register the good things, they said actively spend 15 seconds like basking in. Like, for example, I can see this beautiful red cardinal outside my window.
Oh, I mean, that's my
beautiful.
Mama. She comes to visit. So she's for you to tell me. I'll tell Mama.
Yeah. So anyway, it's just like really beautiful white snow out there, you know, in the stark branches. And there's this, bright red.
Oh.
So we've talked about, I don't know if we've talked about it for 15 seconds, but, you know, we might remember that. Whereas had I not mentioned it or not thought about it.
Right.
That's just a car. You know what I mean? I wouldn't even think of it the next day. So it's very important. And 15 seconds was what this neuroscientist suggested, was just because that gives it time to register. Because we literally change our brains when we think differently.
Absolutely.
You can look at brain scans. I mean, there's no disputing this. You know, the scientific evidence is there. You look at brain scans and the gray matter changes when you're meditating, when you're in gratitude. I mean, literally physically changes because of the neuroplasticity. So that's just one little tip. It's so simple. Just focus on those good things for 15 seconds, because the ratio of how much we focus on the bad, it's just our brains are just wired that way. And you can rewire your brain.
Well, you know, Abraham Hicks says like 16 seconds. I mean, Dr. Joe Dispenza shows you those things that they literally rewire a new neuron in like 15 seconds. So, you know, if we can disrupt our day and for 15 seconds at any point in time, I have my students do that, and then it goes into 30 seconds, or it gets a little bit longer, and then they start prying open this joy mm-hmm. in their lives. What mm-hmm. was the name of that neuroscientist you just said that you...
Well, I heard about it from Richard Rohr, who's actually a Franciscan priest, but he was with this neuroscientist that told him that. And I looked it up, and I don't remember what the guy's name is, but there is a guy out there. I mean, probably any
There's a guy out there. Okay, so we're almost running out of time, but on your, is it 41, when you say, people ask you at the very end of a...
Oh.
They say, they ask you something at the very end, and then you always have an answer. It's 41.
Oh, sometimes, what's the most important thing you can...
Yes, that's going to be our last one. What's the most important thing that, if you had to tell somebody that, what would you tell them?
Well, it's funny. I wrote that because I did get that question a lot. So I was thinking of the news. I'm like, oh, I don't know. You know, you were loved. You were such a great, whatever. You know, I'd him and ha. But I realized.
I don't know. Yeah.
But maybe the most important thing is to be suspicious of those voices in our head. Those voices that we think are us. Again, that's the collapse wave that we believe that we're these bodies and these separate little space suits, and this is who we are.
Right.
So, and those voices just never stop talking. They're always telling us this, and they're telling us that. When they
quiet down, right?
Yeah, when they quiet down, that joy that we're talking about is just there. I mean, there's no need to focus 15 seconds. I mean, it's just there because that's the truth of who we are underneath those voices in our head. So I just sort of wrote that. I don't know that I always will end every interview that way, but well,
you have to now because you've got it on page 36 of your 16 of your book.
Yeah.
So suspicious of the voice in my head. So how do they know? How do we know which voice? Because we got a lot of them, right? And we've got the observer that's kind of looking back and watching us do things.
Right.
And really that's the one that's connected more to source, right? This observer that's not in the middle.
Well, more like the word awareness. I would use the word awareness
okay.
more
yeah,
than,
okay.
So there is this awareness underneath the voice, this awareness that's sort of there watching. And that's more God, I would say,
right.
Although again, you can't define God, but that's awareness that's deeper than the little chatty brain that's telling you, oh, you forgot to do this and you need to do that and you got to remember this for 15 seconds and you know all that kind
of
stuff.
I know. Yeah. Now I got it. Okay, so how? So if we recognize that voice, right? That
it's not even a voice. It's not even a voice. It's an awareness. It's the voice is almost always ego.
The negative voice that we're not putting any judgments on.
Well, any voice in your head is probably not you.
Any voice in your head is not you. Okay.
Whether it's good, bad, whatever, the awareness, it kind of what the Course in Miracles teaches us is to make our perception as close to God as possible. So that's why we focus on gratitude. That's
right.
Why we enlist the help of the Holy Spirit, because then we get there and now we're just like one little leap over to truth, which is just awareness. And there are no voices and it is just pure bliss, peace, whatever. Like Eckhart Tolle woke up and realized, wow, how he'd been seeing the world was just like,
right.
It was just like so beautiful. It was what he found out, you know, what was really true underneath all that. So I would call it awareness. I wouldn't call it a voice at all. Any voice, even if the voice is telling you, oh, you look so great today, or your voice that says,
oh, you
that says,
your hair,
wow,
or
you're doing really good today, or oh, wow, you love everybody. Even that is a voice. And
but
there is an awareness underneath that.
But don't you think an inspiration, and maybe the voice, maybe voice is not the right word, but you and I both, there have been times when, oh my God, now I get it, or an epiphany or an inspiration.
Right.
And I would kind of call that a voice. Maybe it's not words. Maybe it's not verbal. Maybe that's what it is.
Well,
maybe
it can come that way, but yes, no. And the quieter the little voices are, the more that inspiration, that awareness would be able to notice that, you know, that idea. Because obviously the source, the divine intelligence is wanting, I don't know, is wanting. It has
to express.
Right.
Itself.
So it's just so that's more where it is free to get through, I think, when we're just in awareness as opposed to the voice. But we do that voice is us. I mean, we all do. But it's
It is us to some degree. It's the ego that we've had to at least.
It's not the truth
accept.
Of us. It's not the truth of us. It's the temporary. Just like today, you're wearing that real cute blue dress, top, whatever that is. That's not who you are. That's not, you know, you're not falling the blue thing. You know what I mean? But for now.
Right. And our bodies and and our egos and our personalities. Although I think we always are aware of, I don't know if we're aware, because maybe we're not aware, that no matter what's going to happen, we're going to survive. Some part of us, right? This consciousness.
Well, the awareness would be what might be called consciousness. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So do you believe in reincarnation? Do you believe that we chose to, or at least chose our families and chose to come down here?
I don't know exactly how I feel about that.
Yeah.
I'm open to that as a possibility. I do know it's way, 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 way bigger than anything
right.
we understand.
Than above our pay grades. Yeah, it's above our pay grades.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
So what does the Course in Miracles say in that? Or is that something it doesn't even...
You know, Gary Renard is a Course in Miracles teacher, and I can't remember when he talks a little bit about reincarnation, but it's not something that the Course in Miracles necessarily addresses. So it's not a big topic.
Did he write the
Disappearance of the Universe?
Oh my God. Okay. That's a book that we need to be talking about.
Yeah. That's an interesting book. Yeah.
But he had the two people sitting on his couch and
right.
Okay, that's a difficult book. I mean, I thought so. Yeah. I know he kind of talks about, I know it's a bigger picture and it's so many dimensions, and you know what? It really doesn't make any difference. Right.
Well, all we can do is, what awareness do we have right now in this moment?
Right.
That's all we have any control over, because what's going to happen, you know, when we end this interview and I jump in my car, I mean, I have no control over that. So, you know, just like right now in this moment, and that's, again, that's all we can do.
I know. And you know what? And you know, that's enough. I think people
it's
think
enough.
They haven't done enough. I think there's guilt. And if we can just allow what's happening. I have a business coach, and I was mad at her the other day, and because she was telling me to do stuff and it was pissing me off, and you know, and I've been sick. I have a new knee, so I've been on pain pills, so I haven't really done a lot. And you know, I finally said, you know, I'm just surrendering to what is. I can't change anything right now. Mm-hmm. I love the word surrender. Let's just surrender and be okay with what is, and have faith that everything's going to be okay. Not that we're not going to take action steps, right? We still have to, but we can still relax in the present moment knowing everything's going to be okay.
Right. In fact, I would argue that when you're in that state of awareness, in that state of more divine consciousness, the actions you take then are going to be much more successful, so to speak, than the action you just take because you're supposed to take action. And
I know
most of the actions that we take are just because we think we should, because some business coach or some book or some whatever told us to do it. Most of that's just a bunch of baloney. Whereas it's really great to think that there is this other source, you know, leading you to action or leading you to divine inspiration, you know, and sometimes it's action. Sometimes it's just sitting there and, you know, spreading
enjoying
love.
The snowfall. Or, it's snowing in my town and your town, which is not that usual, but you know, I just think that when we get that there's, you know, that there's a bigger picture, and you know, I hated this. You're not the boss of me, because I'd fight with everybody. I'd go to church and I'd argue with the minister in my head until I realized it's not ever out there, right?
Yeah.
It's always in here. There's nothing to argue about, you know? There's nothing to argue about. Well, I know you get to go play in the snow, and I'm excited that we've touched base. I love your book. I mean, I'm only on page 60, and I want you to come back. But thank you so much for your time.
Yeah, thank you.
Anything you would like our readers to know? Can they tell us how they can get a hold of you and get your book?
Well, the book is available pretty much anywhere. Of course, any of the bookstores. You know, it was Google the other day. I thought, oh, they're selling it at Walmart and Target. I mean, I don't know if you have to get it online.
That's
but
exciting.
It's like, wow, it's everywhere. But
it's
but
everywhere.
It should be. Books, when they first come out, they tend to be. And then, you know, they've got a couple months and then they move on unless they become popular. But you can always get them on Amazon. You know, it's always available online. In fact, I don't know when this airs, but through Valentine's Day, Hay House is selling it for $10, no shipping, which is kind of nice.
And then you have to go through Hay House.
Right, if you want to order through Valentine's Day, which I guess today's the 12th,
and
it
won't be till next week. So.
Yeah. Okay. So, and then the Kindle version's been going for $1.99. You know, Hay House sets up all the how much they're going to charge, but that's kind of nice too, that people can get a bargain if they're into Kindle.
Oh, yeah, and I do Kindle, and I love Kindle. So, you know, if they go to Hay House, I'm assuming there's a subsection under books, and then you've got a bunch of books. You've got like 20 other books, don't you?
Right. I think five of my books are with Hay House. I've got 20 books. So,
So then got a hold of that. And her other books are fun, you guys. So, I mean, I love her voice. I love the way you write. Pam, thank you so much for being on my show.
Thank
and
you.
I want to have you back, and I want to have lunch with you soon. And I appreciate everything you do for everybody. So we will be right back in just a minute.
Okay. Thanks, Paula.
Thank you. And we are back from Pam's interview. She is so much fun and so intelligent and so inspiring that I appreciate her showing up and writing these books. And her voice in the books, you get it. You don't want to put it down. It's loving. It's fun. It's inspirational. I would encourage you, if you are not a Pam Grout fan or a Pam Grout reader, I would encourage you to get on that bandwagon because she's a lot of fun. And I want to thank you for being here today, and I want to thank you for being on this journey with me, because as Ram Dass always said and is continuing to say in heaven, We are all just walking each other home, and I appreciate the opportunity to be with you. So thank you, and I will see you next time.
Thank you for joining Paula Kidd Casey on Lawyer of Attraction Radio Show. For more information about Paula programs and her book, please visit www.lawyerofattraction.com. Until next week, may you experience the magic of manifesting genuine abundance.